obey than in fellowship sweet. We will sit at His feet, or will walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praise the Lord. That's good singing. You may be seated. That's a good song. I like that. And let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Philippians in chapter 3. I've been ongoing in a study in the book of Philippians and enjoying every ounce of it. And so we took a little venture at the beginning of this chapter looking at some things about being aware of dogs. And I like that message, actually. And beware of evil workers, and then beware of the concision. So we've got some of our bewares out of the way, and then I wanted to, again, just proceed on down through. And I titled this, Pressing Toward the Mark. Pressing Toward the Mark. Seems to be a theme, again, set up here by the Apostle Paul, his letter to the Philippians. So I appreciate, again, as we're studying God's Word, that God's done some good things for Good Samaritan Baptist Church, pressing towards the mark. We're coming up on Anniversary Sunday, next Sunday. Again, 31 years here for Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Did I get that right? 1991. And then 25 years for the Rices here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, 27 years laboring in Yates County, preaching the gospel. And boy, what a blessing again. What a little bit of longevity we have here is not too much compared, again, to some of the time we sojourn here. But it's good for our lifetime, again. It's been 30 years, 31 years here laboring. And we have, we got several founding members still here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Dave and Chris, Dave Johnson, and Linda Weaver now, and founding members here that started the church way back in 1991. And then going through memories yesterday of Bill, and again, all that he's meant to Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Did give a little bit of his testimony and Bible verse yesterday, and what a blessing again that this church has touched a few people here. And praise the Lord, we'll celebrate that next week. But anyway, this week I wanted to look at that theme and pick it up and carry it even again into our anniversary celebration next week. I got some lump in my Bible. I got to find out what it is. It's a distraction. I can't write in my Bible. There's a lump in there. Someone left a pencil in my Bible. Philippians chapter 3. Let's do this. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Appreciate again in our worship today we could reverence God's Word and to love it and learn it. And so Philippians and chapter 3, we'll pick up our reading there in verse 4 and read down till we find that we're going to press towards the mark. Philippians chapter 3, follow along in your Bible as I would read God's holy writ. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, period. Watch the punctuation as I read these next couple sentences. Verse 7 says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I don't like some of the verse divisions in this, and so that's why we want to watch the punctuation here. Notice that his goal here was not to win Christ. And if we stop the thought with the verse, we could get in trouble. Suffering loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then we have a dot dot right there. And again, the next verse is key to understanding that phrase. Verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's an important sentence right there to what we're looking at. Verse 12 then says, not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, praise you for your word. Thank you again that we could just outline some of these sentences of Paul and understand conversion and the great thing that happened. Father, understand pressing towards the mark. Help again that we could do that, even as we'd look at these concepts, and that we'd again, Father, be pressing towards the mark in our individual lives, as this church is pressing towards the mark as a body of believers. Father, even as all Christendom, real Christendom, is pressing toward the high calling of God and being made conformable to the image of your dear Son. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Pray that you touch, bless, and encourage each one who falls under the sound of it this morning. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I love this portion of Scripture, and I'll talk about some things here probably that'll stir my heart a little about being saved and about, again, what God did in conversion. Notice here first, we're looking at pressing towards the mark, and I like to give you my main point right up front. And my main point I heard again from another preacher this past week, and I had to think about it, so I'm going to give it to you early so you can think about it now. And it is this: don't die till you die. Don't die until you die. So we want to be pressing towards the mark and appreciate again that we could be that even till death calls us home. First off, let's look at again at this confidence in the flesh in verse 4. Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. What is it that builds confidence in the flesh? I got one word answer for that. It is indeed religion. And so religion builds us a confidence in the flesh. I've already got one, thanks. I appreciate that. I've been struggling here with my voice and sinuses for weeks. So religion, as I said, and there's almost categorically, if the Bible hadn't said a few things about pure religion and undefiled, I would make this a categorical statement that all religion leads man to hell. Religion. When someone tells me, oh, he's religious, or I hear it all the time in the Air Force, I hear it all the time, oh, he's got religion. I like to hear people say that, and I like to clarify immediately, I don't have religion, I got a relationship. And so when I hear someone say that about me, oh, he's religious, I like to clarify, no, I'm not religious, I've got a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind when someone calls you religious. Understand that religion is man's attempt to work and to please God, and we can't do that. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so our world looks at religion, and it is intended to build, as Paul says here, to build confidence in the flesh. And so we don't want that. The idea when it comes to getting to heaven, to deserving heaven, we, like human, it's our human nature to say, I can do it myself. You have perhaps heard kids say that to you. You perhaps had that own ideology in your own life that, hey, leave me alone, I'll do it myself. I want to do this myself. And so that's a kind of a natural reaction in us. But when it comes to, again, approaching a holy God, God loves only a broken and a contrite heart. The Bible says that, in the Beatitudes, the nine blessed R's that we call them, the first three have to do with getting our heart right so that we could approach unto God. And we don't do that with pride or haughtiness. We do that with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And so, again, notice that religions are meant to build up confidence in the flesh that you can do it. You can do it. That you could, again, if you just pray through these prayer beads, if you just do enough penance, that you can please God. There's a church, a denomination that will remain nameless, but when they united several of their factions and put it together in one united organization, they wrote down their doctrinal statement that I had a copy of lost in the bowels of my computer someplace, and it said again that you cannot get to heaven without receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. They wrote that down, put it in ink, and again established it as one of their principles. But then the next sentence says, and he will, over time, he will work on you until you deserve to go to heaven. Whoa. Listen, that's not what this Bible says. That's not what conversion is. And so it isn't that he's going to work on you and change you enough so that you deserve to go to heaven. If that be the case, I know some, present company included, who would never get there again. God doesn't make us deserve heaven. Instead, his mercy and his grace gives us what we don't deserve. And so again, this idea of being converted again, is getting away from confidence in the flesh. Conversion is getting away from confidence in good works. Conversion is, and again, you think of that model of good works. If I were to go out here and ask a normal person, are you going to go to heaven? They might say, I hope so. And what do you base that hope on? Well, God's going to, you've heard this before, God's going to weigh my good works and my bad works. And if my good works outweigh my bad works, he'll let me in. St. Peter's up there at the gate. And he's going to do the weighing and he's going to let me in because I think my good works outweigh my bad works. Again, notice how much scripture they have to ignore to put that model in place. But that model comes out of the Protestant church and Protestant religions. Again, teach that model that, you could work your way into heaven. Rather than basing on conversion, they base it on a baptism, infant baptism. If you baptize an infant, it washes his sins away, and now he's not going to hell. He's going to go to heaven, and all you have to do is let him grow up a little bit and then send him to conversion classes or, I forgot the other classes they have. They send you to, so you can do a confirmation classes, and there, now you're on your way to heaven. Listen, none of that's in the Bible. That's not the Bible way to get to heaven. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. I got people that have confidence in ignorance. I've had people tell me, and you probably have too, well, God and I have this little agreement. Listen, any agreement that God has, he wrote it down in a book, praise the Lord. And you better make sure your understanding of him aligns with the book. Some people are willingly ignorant of what this book says, and they want to stay that way. To the point, again, where it's almost against the law to read the book in public. It is in Canada, and it's getting that way in America. It is in our public school system, because people do not want to know what God says about this truth. But look with me in Matthew chapter 18. I think it's in verse 3. If we get there, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. Let's start in verse 1. And at that time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted..." Is that what your Bible says? "Except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." You want into the kingdom of heaven? It better include conversion, being converted to Christ. And so, let me go on in Philippians. Hold that thought. We'll come back to it again. But let's go on to Philippians. And notice again what he says in verse 5, I think it is. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, verse 4, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And so Paul outlines here God's religion. There's only one religion approved of God here for the life of Paul and also for our lives, and that religion is the Jewish religion. Is what God told the Hebrews, is what God ordained again in the Old Testament of law, that again, that's the only religion, true religion, that God has at this time right here. And so Paul is a stout convert to that religion. He was born there. And notice again that in this religion that he's in, he had more zeal than anyone else he knew. He was converted into that. At birth, again, he was born into that. It says, baptized the seventh day. Now Paul, he didn't have any part of that. He didn't have any decision in that, but he was baptized on the seventh day according to the law, and he's following all the law. And so listen, if there was anyone that was religious and right, it was the Apostle Paul, a Pharisee. The zeal he had, he describes here, and in the right religion, but he came to a place where he realized he needed to be converted. And so understand here that even in this picture, we're going to look at this idea of being converted. Concerning zeal, he had the greatest zeal. I wrote down here a good outline of that. Paul was converted from something. He was converted from privilege as he had as a Jewish Benjaminite. He was converted from strictness of the religion of the law. He was converted from the orthodox teachings of the Bible. He was converted from the zeal that he had, even in pursuing this religion that God had ordained. And so there's a whole bunch of man-made religions, Catholicism being the lead, again, in Christianity, that they man-made all these rules. And again, you have the Muslims with a man-made religion. You have Hindus and Buddha worshipers again, all with man-made religions, and they've devised this idea that you could again keep getting better and better, and you could take care of your karma, and that you could do some yoga exercises and some mental exercises, and that would again bring you on a high level till eventually you'd be reincarnated as something superior, or you'd reach a yavarna again where you can make yourself into a god or be in heaven with a god. Listen, that's pretty a rundown of all the Asian religions, of all the religions of this world, are the idea that we could get better and better until we be gods or be with God. And so, notice here, you need converted from that. You've got to be converted. Paul was converted from something. And I want to ask you the question today, what were you converted of? Pastor or missionary Judd, again, that missionary to New Zealand, gave the test of his testimony of conversion, and he also gave a testimony of two very nice Roman Catholic Italians, Tony and Vinny. Tony was two missionaries that he knows, again, that he gave witness for, and close friends of his, missionaries to the Samoa. Again, Tony and Vinny were two very nice Roman Catholics. Again, you can imagine they were very Italian by their name. And Vinny decided that he was going to leave the Roman Catholic Church and go to the Greek Orthodox Church. And so that's the same religion, but a different package, okay? And so he was leaving Roman Catholicism that they were brought up and well trained in, and he was going to go join the Greek Orthodox Church instead. And Vinny said, or Tony said, you can't do that. The Catholic Church taught us that if you convert to the Greek Orthodox Church, you'll go to hell for that. And again, they teach that, and that's the dogma of their religion. And not only that, I talked to them up in Rome, and they said if they ever went and visited a Baptist church, they had to go to convert to a Catholic priest and confess that in the confessional as a sin that they had visited a Baptist church. Isn't that curious? And so, again, anyway, Ovini said to Tony, his older brother, if you could prove that from the Bible, I'll stay in the Catholic Church. So Tony, he got himself a Bible, and he started studying out. And pretty soon he had a list of all the things he was going to explain to Vinny, his brother. And then he had all a list of things that didn't seem right in the Catholic religion. And the list over here kept growing. And this list that he was going to give to Vinny that said why he had to remain in the Catholic Church had 0 points in it. And eventually, Tony got saved, and Tony accepted what the Bible said, and he was converted to Christ. He was born again. He was saved, praise the Lord. And he immediately went and told his younger brother what he'd found Vinny. And now both of them were Baptist missionaries, independent fundamental Baptist missionaries to the Samoan Islands. I forgot where Vinny ended up. But praise the Lord, conversion happens, even to the very religious. In fact, sometimes I think the very religious have a better chance of understanding the truth and being converted from their foolishness of religion than someone who's just dabbling in it. Well, I'm sort of Roman Catholic. I don't know all that they teach, but I try to get to heaven by being that. And so again, understand the importance of converting here. In 1958, it's good to have Parker and Lucas here today. In 1958, write this down in your Bible someplace. My mom was converted from Roman Catholicism. My dad was converted from being a agnostic and a Gnosticism. When Cecil Palm came and knocked on the door of 40 Platt Street down in Gang Mills, New York, and told them, ye must be born again. And they were, praise the Lord. In 1958, 2 years later, an 8-year-old boy named Eddie Rice was converted from his sin and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior as an 8-year-old. When were you converted? When you are converted, you set on a new path. And you're set in a new direction. Look again at Matthew 18:3 and answer that question. What were you converted from? And were you indeed converted? Look at... I think we got time to do this. It'd be worth the effort anyway. Look with me at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we have the account Well, before we that, let's look at Luke chapter 8. Back up, or jump forward a chapter. Luke chapter 8, verse, and it came to pass afterward. Okay, this is right after chapter 7. And it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Verse 2 says, Luke 8, chapter 2, and a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, which meant she was from the town of Magdala. And over in Matthew, again, chapter 15, you find out that Jesus went to Magdala. And then it says here that Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Back up to chapter 7 and look with me at verse 36. Well, I usually preach till my cough drop is gone. I all but swallowed it right there and would have had to end short here. So look at Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And the next verse, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. I'll contend with you again that that was Mary. That was Mary Magdalene. If you open your Bible to Luke chapter, or John chapter 11, let's look at that too. And you should have a cross reference from those two verses over here to John, Gospel of John, and chapter 11. And I don't know if I wrote it down. I think it's verse 2. John chapter 11. And verse 1 says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And so again, there's Mary, and I believe that's a reference not to Luke chapter 12 that's coming up shortly, but it's a reference back to Luke chapter 7 or John chapter 12. But if you turn to John chapter 12, there's Mary, I believe was Mary Magdalene. And what does she do? She breaks the alabaster box again the second time, exactly as she did that first time. And she again anoints the feet of Jesus, and Jesus said, hey, this is going to be recorded through history. Everyone's going to hear about it, and here we are hearing about it today, praise the Lord, 2,000 years later. And again, understand that Mary, Magdalene, was converted from sin. And don't matter when you get saved, you must be converted, and you'll be converted from sin. You'll again head out on a new path. Mary Magdalene, I have her in my notes here again. We've covered her, page 3. Again, understand here that when you're on a new path, things are different. Notice Paul said, verse 7, the things that were gained to me, I counted them but loss. In the text that we read here in Philippians, that he looked back and everything in his past was of no value to him. He needed to press on to a new mark. He needed to press on that we wanted to look at that pressing here today. Well, I got countless other references I want to look at here. But understand this, that you need to be converted to something. If you're saved here today, or if you're listening and you got saved because your mama told you when you prayed a prayer, or something that happened to you when you're a kid, listen, you need to be converted to Christ. You need to understand that, hey, there was a day when I was headed to hell and I deserved it. But I was converted to Christ. Jesus calls it a new birth. Jesus says again, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And again, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that again we are new creatures in Christ. And now we become mediators to God. Have you been converted? Are you saved? So boy, that's an important question we want to ask here. If we look now at what happened to Paul, what he was converted to, notice what he says, the old things are as but dung, as I read. Verse 9, and be found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His grace we are saved. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right after it gets through saying, hey, I'm a new creature, now I'm a minister of reconciliation. Now it says again that, hey, for God hath made him who knew no sin to be made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So it's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness. And that's what Paul is growing in. That's what he's talking about. Two more things, let me just hit them. Of this whole line I need to, get. I wanted to lay out the whole path of growth that he had, and you can study that out. But look at two things. First off, look at verse 8. Yea, doubtless I could, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. And then look at that phrase, of Christ Jesus my Lord. I've made a big deal about the names of Christ from this pulpit again to understand that if it's Christ Jesus, it's different than Jesus Christ. One is talking about His deity. He is the anointed one, which is Christ. And the other is talking about Him being our Savior. He's come to save. He shall be called Jesus because He shall save the people, His people, from their sin. And so look what he says here. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I hope He's all that to you. And I hope again that we're growing in a knowledge of Him. And if we're growing in a knowledge of Him, notice that next verse there in chapter 9, or verse 9 says this, at the righteousness which is of God by faith, but that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death. So again, we're on a path of growing. We're on a path of growing in the knowledge of Christ. And we sing a song around here that says, though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I hope you have. And listen, it might get thin in the ranks around here. Especially in America, as we see again, America turning against God and promoting every kind of evil that we couldn't even imagine 10, 20 years ago. They're promoting it as a way of life, and they're legislating it, they're requiring it. And listen, they may talk a lot about tolerance, but they are intolerant to the intolerant, and we are intolerant of sin because Christ said we should be. So we're not going to find much tolerance. Again, Christians will not find tolerance in that new movement in America. And so our ranks might be smaller and smaller. Boy, again, understand this, that our righteousness ought to ring louder and louder, because it's not ours, it's His. And we're to be a light in this world. Father, praise You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we could read it today. Thank You again, Father, that You've outlined for us again a conversion of Paul, and he talks about it over and over. May we not forget what we were converted from. Lord, help us to always remember what we were converted to. And Father, that we could again have a faith in You and a growth in a knowledge of Your Son and the power of His resurrection. Thank You and praise You for each one that's here today to worship. Thank You again for the change You've wrought in our life when we were converted to Christ. In His name we pray, and for His name's sake we'd ask. In the name of Christ, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. We want to close our service a little differently here today. Grandma's gone in for that surgery, and so I'm going to ask Brother Dave to come on over there with Grandma. Let me read a verse out of the book of James first, again, just to understand some things the Bible says about what we're about to do here. The Bible says in James, as he closes the books there in chapter 5, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And we're going to do just that again with Grandma. She's gone in for surgery tomorrow. And so I'm going to have Dave come up. And let's just go ahead. And I want to have a word of prayer with Grandma here. As we do that, Grandma, we're going to anoint you with oil. Now, in the Bible, they dumped a whole vial of this all over top. Remember Aaron is talking Psalms 1-something, 17, where it ran down his face and dripped all the way down his cloak. I'll try not to do that again. But if I do, it's olive oil, all right? Yeah, so she's got a tissue ready. And so, again, we're just going to anoint Grandma with oil and have a word of prayer over Grandma here. And so, Dave, we just lay hands on Grandma here. So I'm going to just anoint with oil, and then this will mess up your beautiful new hairdo you just got done. But again, it is just an anointing of oil and just a prayer of faith. And ask Brother Dave to just kneel there and put your hand on Grandma. Let's have a little prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Grandma, Lord, and all cities in this church, all cities. Our family, Lord, we thank You so much, Lord, that she's found her conversion in You. Lord, we thank You so much, Lord, that she's put her faith and trust in You. Lord, we lift her up now, Lord, because she's having this procedure, Lord. It's a major procedure. We just pray, Lord, You just be with her, and I just pray, Lord, that the doctors will, You know, just touch and anoint her hands, and I just pray, Lord, that all the things that need to be gone will be gone, and I just pray, Lord, for Grandma just help her, Lord, to just relax and put her faith and trust in You, Lord. And I thank You so much, Lord, for Your answer to prayer. And I just pray, Lord, that Your will be done in that. For help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Father, we do praise You. Thank You for Grandma. Thank You for her love for You. Thank You for her faithfulness here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Father, for the testimony of love for You, her testimony in her own. Father, we pray now that You be with her tomorrow as she goes with this procedure. Pray, Father, again that You take the cancer from her. Pray especially, Father, that You'd have Your hand on the doctor as he'd have his hands on one of Your saints. And Father, that You'd surround in a care that only a loving Heavenly Father could give for Grandma. Pray that You'd be with this cancer that's in her body, Father, that You'd take it away. And as they do this procedure tomorrow to cut that out, I pray again, Father, that You'd intervene with a holy hand. Cause again, Father, that You'd take this from our dear sister and that You'd again touch with Your hand. You're the great physician. Father, You have the healing balm of Gilead. And even as we anointed Grandma with oil here. I pray again that you'd anoint her with your spirit and your presence. Give her the power again to relax through this thing and to have your spirit. Give her a perfect peace that passes all understanding. Hear the prayers of her family as they're lifted up tomorrow. Hear the prayers of her church as we'll be holding Grandma in prayer. And Father, that you just intervene. Do a miracle. And Father, we'll praise you for it. Pray that you be with the doctor, that he'd see a miracle that would cause again. He would know that there is a God in heaven that loves Grandma and watches out for her. Hear our prayer now. Touch with your hand. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. For his name's sake, we'd even come to you now. In his name, we'd ask. And for his name's sake. Amen. Lord bless you, Grandma. And let's stand. I need to find this song in the book. Sing, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Lord, bless you for being in church today. You're dismissed. Did we find a number with that?
328.
It is in our book, 328. I'm going to write that down. Yeah, I only know one verse.